Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shkalim, daf Yud Zayin. We are holding on daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We are at the first very wide line of Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Tanchuma. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also by Eliza and Aaron Hertz, Lizek Nishmas, Eliza's father, Judge Noach Deer, on his first yard site, which is the 25th of Nisan. Also by Eitan and Moshe Raps, in honor of their parents' 40th wedding anniversary, which they're zochah to celebrate together with all their children and grandchildren in Eretz Yisrael. And also by Ran Yaish, in honor of his father's first yard site, Azri Ben Ovadia. May his neshama have an aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is finish up the discussion from yesterday about the machlokas, about how large the aron was. The Torah tells us how big the aron was, but it only tells us in terms of amos. So we had to figure out how big is each amma. We had a machlokas whether each amma was 6 tfachim or 5 tfachim. So the Gemara is going to discuss where the Sefer Torah fit if the aron was only 5 tfachim, and where the Sefer Torah went if the aron was 6 tfachim. And then, Be'ez Hashem, the Gemara is going to give two opinions, whether the 13 hishtachav that we did in the Beis HaMikdash were for the 13 Sha'arim or for the 13 Pirtzos made by the Yevanim that were rebuilt. So we're going to talk about the 13 Ishtach Vayos, and we're going to discuss what they correspond to. And then there's going to be a lengthy description in Amud Aleph of the water that comes out of the Kodesh HaKadashim, and an explanation of the Psukim in Yecheskel about that stream of water that gains steam and becomes larger and bigger and more powerful as it goes further and further out. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how fruits and grain are going to grow la'asadavo at a much more rapid pace. Exactly how much more rapid is going to be a machlokas, but at a much more rapid pace than they grow right now. And then we're going to talk about how Yechaniah went into Galus, a pretty dramatic series of events that led to Yechaniah going into Galus. And then the Gemara is going to have a description of the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to have a description of the 13 Shulchanos that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to have Machlokas, whether the Lechem HaPanim was placed on a marble table or a silver table. And if it was placed on a silver table, it would mean that we would have to rely on a nace, that it doesn't turn moldy, because silver is a conductor of heat. And then we're going to talk about the placement in the Heichal of the 10 additional menorahs and 10 additional shulchanos that Shlomo HaMelech added, aside from the main menorah and the main shulchan. And then at the very end, we're going to have machlokas whether the shulchanos ran north-south or east-west. These 10 additional shulchanos, which direction did they go? How did they fit? So we're going to have that at the very end as well. So let's begin again at the very first wide line on Daf Tes Zayinam Beis. Am Rabbi Tanchum is Kashis coming Rabbi Pinchas. I asked Rabbi Pinchas, he said, Asya Rabbi Yehuda, from the pasuk that we're about to see, we assume like Rabbi Yehuda that the Sefer Torah must not have been in the Aron. Why? How did we know Rabbi Yehuda the Sefer Torah was not in the Aron? Because he had the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos, and we went through the measurements already yesterday, and the whole Aron was only 12 and a half tefachim, counting the thickness of the walls, because each amma is only a 5 tefach amma, so there's no room for a Sefer Torah there. So the Sefer Torah was not in the Aron. And lo asik Rabbi Meir, and we do not assume like Rabbi Meir. The pasuk we're about to quote is not going to assume like Rabbi Meir, or seems not to assume like Rabbi Meir, that the Sefer Torah was in the Aron. My time, Rabbi Dudiksev, the pasuk says lo koach Sefer Torah zeh v'samtem also mitzad Aron Bris Hashem, that you should put it next to the Aron Bris Hashem. So you see beferish that it was next to, not betocho, not inside of the Aron. So Adaitid Rabbi Yehuda to Amar, Heichano Yisefer Torah Nasun, Kamin Gluskia Asalo Mibachutz, Vayisefer Torah Nasun Betocho. They had this extra compartment that was outside of the Aron, and that's where they placed the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara now doesn't answer the Kasha on Rabbi Meir, but instead, my time at Rabbi Meir says, well, where does Rabbi Meir get his idea that the Sefer Torah was in fact in the Aron, especially considering that we just quoted a Beferish Apostle, it sounds like it was not in the Aron. So Dixiv, the Torah tells us, V'nasates HaKapores ala Aron Milamalo, they would put the covering over the Aron Milamalo, V'ala Aron Titeinus HaEdus HaSharetein Elecha. And in the Aron, they would put the Edus meaning the Torah. So Aldaitit Rameir, Duamar, Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah. Within Shittas Rameir, you have to say that it's Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah, because you can't put the covering on and then put the contents in. First, you need to put the contents in, and then you cover it. First, they put the Torah in the Aron, va'achar kach v'nasatas ha'kaparas al Aron milamayla, and only afterwards they would put the covering on. But once you read the pasuk in that way, it's very clear that the Sefer Torah was inside of the. That the Sefer Torah was inside of the Aron. And the Tikkun Chadatin, he says, the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim says that be'inyan echad yesh muktam mukhar b'Torah. Within a single parsha, we always assume yesh muktam mukhar b'Torah. It's only from one parsha to the next that it's ein muktam mukhar b'Torah. And over here, within one pasuk, we're describing the pasuk and we're saying, ein muktam mukhar b'Torah. The pasuk is written like me sefer l'reisha from sofa l'tchilaso, and that's the way you're supposed to read the pasuk, is ein muktam mukhar b'Torah. So Chadatin explains that even so, Rameir apparently disagrees. Rameir apparently holds that even b'parsha achas ain muktu mukhar b'Torah. Others explain that no, when it comes to describing a series of events that relates to a din and a halacha, so then ain muktu mukhar b'Torah, then yesh muktu mukhar b'Torah, even within parsha achas, then there's muktu mukhar b'Torah. But when you're just trying to say pshat and psukim, and you're not trying to derive any halachos, you're just trying to understand what the pasuk is saying, then you could say ein mukta mukhar b'Torah within a single parsha. Okay, so now the Gemara just tells us a little bit about the power of Torah, or the majesty of Torah. Pinchas b'shem Rav Shimon Lachish, HaTorah shenasala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, Ninelo Eish Levana Charusa Be'Eish Chara. Just like we have a white cloth with black ink on the white cloth, so there was a white fire, and the Ksav was in black fire over the white fire. He Eish Mukhlalas Be'Eish. It's fire mixed with other fire. Chatsuva Me'Eish, and the osios were chiseled out from fire. Unasuna Me'Eish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to Moshe from a fire up in Shemayim, Dechsev, Mimino Eish Taslamo. So there's a lot of fire in the giving of the Torah. Okay, now there's a question in Poskim. Does the cloth have to be white? Meaning a lot of times the cloth is not exactly white. And if it's not white, are you allowed to dye it white? Or does you have to leave the cloth in its raw form? But okay, not for now. So now the Mishnah says, Heichana Yishtachavayos Ha'elu. Where were these Yishtachavayos that they had in the Beis HaMikdash? Sa'arba B'tzafon, V'arba B'darom, four in the north, four in the south, Shalosh Mizrach, three in the east, two in the west, Keneged Shlosh Asar Sha'arim. And the reason for 13 Ishtachavayos is because that's how many gates there were, and apparently they'd be Mishtachave by each gate. So Hadromium Smuchim Lamarav, when we cheshbon out the southern gates, starting from the westernmost point of the Azara, Shara Elyon, first comes Shara Elyon, because the Harabayis was obviously on a slant, it's a mountain, and it went up from Mizrach Lamarav, so the Shara that was closest Lamarav was at the highest point. That was the Shara, so that's why it's called the Shara Elyon. And then Shara Delek, which is the Shar where they would, which was closest to the room where they kept the wood, and since they would bring that same Aracha, they would light on the Mizbeach, so it's called Shar Hadelek for lighting. Shara Becharos, the Shar that they would bring the Bechari Behema into the Azara. Shara Mayim, in the Sharamayim, v'lam nikra shmo Sharamayim. Why did a particular gate get the name Sharamayim? Shebo machnis and tzlochus shal nisach hamayim b'chag, because once a year they would do an avoda called nisach hamayim, and that's where on Sukkot, and they would bring in the nisach hamayim through that shar on Sukkot. Since the mayan of the shiluach that they took the water from for nisach hamayim was on the southern side, so they brought it through that shar. Reb Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, bo hamayim esakam asidim li. No, it's called Sharamayim because that's where the water that we're going to describe in great detail that flows out from the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash is going to flow from. Lu'umasan b'tzafon, and then you go to the Sha'arim that are on the northern side. So Smuchim b'marav, again, the clothes starting from the westernmost side, from the northwest side. You have Shar Yechanya. First you have Shar Yechanya, which will explain why it's called that. Shara Karban, and then from there you have the Shara Karban. From there would be Machnas the Kachi Kachim that are Shechted b'tzafon. They would bring it through that Shar. And then you have Shar Hanashim, where the women would go to either stand stand over or do smicha on their karbanos. And the Achronim explained that they made a specific shar. The Pirush Rabbeinu Meshulam explains that they made a specific shar for the women in order that women shouldn't have to run into men when they're going in and out. It's a tznius thing, so that that they would be, they had their own entrance. So that was the shar hanashim. There's always a heightened level of sensitivity to tznius in a makom kadosh. Whenever you have a makom hashras hashchina, it's almost as if Klal Yisrael intuitively understands this, right? Even in places where people are not necessarily do not necessarily dress up to the highest standards of tznius, they always had like those doilies at the door where women would cover their hair when they come into the shul, or they would have you know, women who don't normally do this would wear stockings when they come to shul, or a heightened level of tznius when it comes to a Beis HaKnesses, because a Beis HaKnesses is a makom hashra'as hashchina. Whenever there's a sense of hashra'as hashchina, there's an extra level of sensitivity to tznius. Rav Shachter points this out in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, and he points out that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Kimchis was zochet to have shiva banim kohanim gedolim, seven sons who were all kohanim gedolim, and the zchus of having seven sons who were all kohanim gedolim is that walls of her house never saw her uncovered hair. There's no halacha that walls of your house are not allowed to see a married woman's uncovered hair, but she was such a tsunua, that was her extra level of tsnius, and therefore she was zocha to extra kedusha, that all through her seven sons. There was a tremendous ashra sashchina, they were all served, they all served as kohanim gedolim. So this is the shar hanashim. That's at least the way some understand it. So the Rush writes in Maseches Midos that it's called Shar HaNashim because that's where they would go to do smicha on their karbanos, but that only works if you hold that Nashim Somchos, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda holds Nashim are not Somchos, so they would just be there to be Omeid al Karbanan, to be there while their karban is being brought. It tells us Yom Tov, however, quotes from Rabbi Yah, that that's where the women would leave the Ezros Nashim, because they couldn't leave through the Shar HaMizrach through which they entered, because then it would turn out that they turned their back on the Heich. And on the southern side, there was no shar within the Ezros Nashim, so they would go all the way around and go out through this shar, and that's why it's in fact called Shar HaNashim. And the Tiferes Yisrael, he says, that doesn't really make much sense, because the Nashim are not really different than anybody else, that they go out through the Azara, Derech HaChareyim. They can go out backwards. What do you mean they're going to turn their back? So they won't turn their back. They'll walk out backwards, B'Derech Kavod. So he says that Shar HaNashim is a shar katan. It's a smaller shar that's meyuchad, only for Nashim, and the reason they made it structurally smaller than the other Sharim is so that it will be easy for women to find. Meaning if you have women who don't frequently visit the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to not know which one is the Shar HaNashim, so if you make it structurally look different than the others, it will be easier to spot. And then you have Shar HaShir, that's where they would bring the musical instruments into the Azara. V'lama nikra shmo Shar Yechanya. Why is it called, why is Shar Yechanya called Shar Yechanya? Shabo Yatza Yechanya B'gul. So when Nebuchadnezzar sent Yechaniah into Golus, that's where he went to be Notel Rishus before leaving. So he went to that shar and he went out through that shar. So that's why it's called Shar Yechaniah. Hasheba Mizrach, the gates on the eastern side are Shar Nikanar, because there were miracles that happened with the doors. We're going to see the Gemara describes in the third parak of Maseches Yuma the miracles that happened in securing the doors of Shar Nikanar with the that had to be thrown overboard and got stuck on the bottom of the ship. So that was a big deal. Ushnei Pishpishin Hayulo, this great large gate had two smaller entranceways that were Hayulo Echem Yimino Vechem Yismolo, one on the right side of it and one on the left side of it. And those two doors opened up to two rooms, the Lishchas Pinchas Hamalbish and the Lishchas Beis Osei Chavitin. And they're also counted among the 13 Sha'arim. Ushnayim Marav, and then you had two more on the west. The two on the west didn't have any name. They weren't really used so much. They were just made to go me'achorei hamikdash if a person needed to go out that way. But they were not frequently used. In the Tos Yantov, he quotes from the Kaftar V'Ferach that the two sha'arim on the west, or the sharu ulam and the sharu heichal, they didn't have a particular name because of any particular event that happened, and there were just entrances and exits. It was nothing more than that. But the other sha'arim that were mentioned are called based on some event that happened by those sha'arim. So Tos Yantav says, we're talking about the Shari Azara, not the Shara Echal and the Ulam are not included in the Shara Azara. And furthermore, the Shara Elyon is not called based on any Maisa. It's just a physical description of where it was. So is that really true that every single one is based on a Maisa? So he says, now why did these Sharim, these two Sharim on the Kosal Ma'aravi of the Azara, on the western wall of the Azara, which is behind the Hechel, it's like all the way in the back of the Beis HaMikdash, why did they not get a name? They were very small, and they were not frequently used at all. In fact, they were never used. They were just there as an emergency exit. So in case Oivim, in case enemies would come to attack us from the eastern side, we needed an escape to the western side. Maybe some of them would open out, right? The emergency exits have to open out. So they served only as emergency exits. They weren't a regular shar, and that's why they didn't get names. Okay, so now it says the Gemara, Masnisin Abba Yosef ben Yochanani. Our Mishnah says that 13 Sharim in the Azara correspond to the 13 Ishtachavayos, or the other way around, the 13 Ishtachavayos correspond to 13 Sha'arim in the Azara. That follows the sheet of Abba Yosef ben Yochanan. The Amar, Kineget, Shlosh Asr Sharim, that is corresponds to the 13 Sha'arim. Biram Kirabanan, Shiva Sharim Hayib Azara, but Rabbanan disagree with the physical structure. They say that it wasn't 13 Sharim. It was only 7 Sha'arim in the Azara. So the Gemara explains, according to the Rabbanan, that it was only 7 sha'arim, so why did you have 13 ishtachavayos if there were only 7 sha'arim? So aldaitin d'rabbanan hechana yishtachavayos halalu. So where did they do the 13 ishtachavayos? Ki heditanin taman shlosh ha'esrei pirtzel tayubo that shepirtzel malchay yavan v'chazru g'darim b'nei chashmenai v'gazru k'neglin shlosh ha'esrei ishtachavayos, that there were 13 pirtzos in the wall that were made by the Greeks, and then the b'nei chashmenai rebuilt those pirtzos, so in celebration and appreciation of the fact that we were zochet to be able to rebuild those pirtzos, we'd be mishtachave at each of those locations. So now, the Mishnah had said that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the water, the Shar HaMayim was so cold, not because of the Nisuch HaMayim, but because the water would stream out from underneath that Shar. So now, a lot of detail about that. Ksiv, the Navi Zechariah tells us, V'haya b'yamahu yetsu mayim chayim Yerushalayim. And the Pasuk goes on to say that Chetzem Eliyam HaKadmoni, so the Bryce explains how this water looked. So it's going to go out mi base kodesh kadashim ad haparoches. That it's from the base kodesh kadashim until it reaches the paroches. It's going to be a very, very narrow stream of water. Kikarne sayale uchiyale, like the horns of snails, which are very, very, very narrow. Min paroches and mizbach hazav, and as it goes from the paroches until the mizbach hazav, the stream is going to pick up a little more steam. Kikarne chagavim, it's going to thicken a little bit like the horns of grasshoppers, and as it continues to go, it's going to get stronger and stronger. From the Mizbach Azav until the Azaros, the stream is going to get stronger, and it's going to be kechut shel shesi, like the string on the loom, the shesi string on the loom, which is the narrower of the two strings. Min Azaros and Miftan Abayis, from the Azaros until the Miftan Abayis, a little wider, kechut shel erev, like the wider string on the loom. And then mikan ve'elach kimipi apach. Then after that, it's going to be like you're pouring from a pitcher, that it's going to flow out. So the Gemara brings the continuation of the Pesukim in Nevuas Yecheskel about this Nachal that's going to go from the Kodesh HaKadashim. So the Pasuk says, Ksiv, V'yinei mayim mefachim min ha-kosef ha-yamanis, b'tseisa ishkodim v'kav b'yado v'yamad elef pa'ama v'yavireinu b'mayim me'afasim. When the water goes out through the southern side of the Har HaBayis, so the Malach that's talking to Yecheskel is going to hold a measuring stick, and he's going to measure 1,000 amos of length from that stream of water, and the Gemara is going to say, what is me'afasim? Ad karsula. It means that the water at that point is going to be ankle deep. And then, then he's going to measure another 1,000 amos further, and again, it's picking up steam, going downstream, and it's going to be up until ad birkaya, up until it's going to be knee deep. And then, he's going to measure another 1,000 amos, and it's going to be mei masnayim. What does that mean? Ad masnayim. It's going to be waist deep. Mikan ve'elach v'yamad elef nachal asher lo uchalavar. And then you're going to measure another 1,000 amos, and no one's going to be able to pass through that water. And not only that, but afilu lebironin gedolein yuchalavar bo. Even if you have a large boat, you're not going to be able to pass through that water. My taima. How do I know that even a large boat is not able to pass through it? Because the pasuk says in the Navi Yeshayahu that v'tzi adir lo yavirenu. So tzi adir means even large boats are not going to be able to pass through this nachal at that point of the nachal. So mipnei ma, why is it that you couldn't go through in a large boat because of there was so much water? Ki go'u amayim meisachu. Ma'u meisachu. What does it mean that it's meisachu? Milashut, that you're not able to float on that water. Meaning amrav huna ba'asrin karu l'shayata shukhuna. In our place, we call a raft, the shchuna. So that which floats is called the shchuna. Uferos yadav bikirbo kasha yifaris hasocha lischos. So that's referring to floating on the water, swimming on the water. Mal lischos. I'm Rabbi Yisrael Rabbon. Mind the mismalin bi alma. It's a lashon of sicha that these waters are that they're spoken about throughout the world because of all the nisim that happen in these waters. So it's a lashon of sicha that these waters are called like water. Of Sicha, because they are the topic of conversation of people, because it's just such an amazing sight to see, or such amazing things happened with this water. So now the Gemara brings a pasuk in Zechariah that talks about this Mayan and brings a machlokas amoraim about this Mayan. Ksiv b'yom ha'uyem akar niftach l'beis David l'yosho Yerushalayim l'chatas l'nida, that the Mayan that goes out from the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim from that day on is going to be a Mayim Chaim in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachum Shem Rabbi Yonasan explains that the mayim that flows from Beis David Rad Yoshua Yerushalayim is ksherim l'nida l'chatas. When we say it's going to be Yoshua Yerushalayim l'chatas l'nida, it means that if a nida needs to go to the mikveh, it has 40 sa'as, she can use this water, and also l'chatas, if they need the water of the mayim chayim for the Efer Paraduma, they can get the water from here. Mikan ve'elech, once it's outside of Yerushalayim, once it mixes in with other waters that's not mayim chayim, meitarov esheim. Now it's a mixture of types of waters, so ksherim l'tzvah Lenida, it's still kosher for a nida to be tovel because a nida needs 40 sa, but she does not require mayim chayim. But a psulim lemechatas, it's possible for mechatas, which does require mayim chayim. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar disagrees with Rabbi Yonasan, and he says that mi beis David rad Yoshua Yerushalayim ksherim lenida ulechatas. From beis David until Yoshua Yerushalayim, the water is still kosher for both nida and chatas. But mikan ve'elach meikatafrisos hein, that it's water. That's flowing downward, and therefore psulin lenida. It has a din of zochlin, and it's therefore pasul for a nida because it doesn't have a din of a mayan, since it's mixed with other waters. It has a din of a mei mikva. So the halacha is a mayan. A nida could be tovel in a mayan also, but a mayan is naturally flowing water. But if you're using mei mikva, then the mei mikva can't be zochlin. It can't be moving water. It has to be still water. So since this is mei mikva, it's not May Mayan, she's not able to use it because it is flowing water. So mikvahs have to be very carefully made that there are no leaks, that there's nowhere for the water to seep out of the mikvah. So it was pasul lenida and ulchatas because it's not mayim chayim, so it's pasul ulchatas as well. So now we go back to explain the psukim in Yecheskel about the water that leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So ksiv ayom elayim mayim ha'ele yotzum el ha'galil ha'kadmona, that it goes to the Galil on the eastern side. Ze yam shel samcho. That's the yam shel samcho. And the v'yardu al ha'arava, ze yam shel tveria. That's a reference to the Kinneret. Ubo'u ha'yama, ze yam ha'melech. That's the yam ha'melech. That's the ocean. Why is it called Mutzaim? Because twice it came and flooded the world. Echad b'dor enosh ve'echad b'dor aflaga, as we'll explain. Rabbi Lazar b'shem Rabbi Chanina barishona yatsa ad kalabria, that in the dor enosh the water, the Yama Gadol, came to a place called Klabria. Ubishnia and dor aflaga yatsa ad kipe barberia, it came to a place called kipe barberia. Rabbi Yachav b'shem Rabbi Chanina barishona yatsa ad kipe barberia, ubishnia yatsa ad akovah Ad Yafo. And no, in the generation of Enosh, the ocean went all the way until Kipe Barbaria, and in the generation of the Dor HaFlaga, it went Ad Akko or Ad Yafo. So Rabbi Acha brings a raya from the Pasuk in Iyov. Pasuk tells us, Ad Po Savo Velo Sosif. So he says, Ad Po is like it says, Ad Ko, that Ad Akko Tavo Velo Tosif, until Akko it goes, but not beyond that. Upo Yashus Begon Galecha. So Po is Melashon, the city of Yafo. Ad Yafo, Ashes Gaon Galecha. Only until Yafo can the water reach, but beyond that it doesn't reach. So the Gemara explains, why do I need a Mayan that goes from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just go to the four Yamim that we mentioned? So Nicha Yamarabba V'Yama Demilcha. I understand, meaning why is it that the Mayim from the Kodesh HaKadoshim has to reach those four Yamim? Why is it that it's necessary that that water that goes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in what impact does it have on these four Yamim that we just described, on the Kinneret and the Yamagadol? What impact does it have on all of these Yamim? So Nicha Yamarabba V'Yama Demilcha. I understand very well the Yamagadol and the Yamamelech, Bishvil Mitkan, because those are very salty waters, so the Nacha that comes out is going to be, it's going to be Merape the Mayim, it's going to make the Mayim fresh water. Yamad Itver, Yamad Samchu, and it's going to, but why do I need it to mix in with the Yamad Itver, Yamad Samchu? They're already sweet waters, they don't need any Rafua. So answers the Gemara, no, but it's going to have a positive impact on them as well, the Rabos the Gossam, that now they're going to be able to have more types of fish that are able to come from those waters. The Pasuk in Yecheskel tells us lemine tia dagasam, that there are going to be many dagim, lemine minim tia dagasam, that there are going to be so many minim, so many different types of dagim that you're able to get from there. Tani Amrav Shimon Gamliel Meiser Shalachti LeZaidon. I went to a place called Zaidon Ve'Viv Lufana Yosem Yisholosh Meos Mine Dagim B'Tam Chayechad, and they brought me more than 300 small fish in one plate, meaning different types of small fish. So there's so many fish in the sea. There's so many types of fish in the sea. So it's a great bracha for the mayim to be able to produce so many different types of fish, to be able to grow so many different types of fish. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, there's a stira in the Pesukim in Yecheskel. One pasuk says, v'nirpu'u ha-mayim. Sounds like the mayim needs a refuah, that at first was very salty, and then is going to be sweetened. And the pasuk afterwards says, b'tzosav u'gva'av v'lo yirapu l'melech nitanu. Sounds like it's not going to have a refuah. So k'siv v'nirpu'u ha-mayim, v'atamrit v'lo yirapu ha-mayim. Makom u'shmo v'lo yirapu. So the Gemara answers, no, there's a place called v'lo yirapu. That's, so it's not a stira, whether there's going to be a refuah to the mayim. There will be a refuah to the mayim. So the Gemara darshens another pasuk in Yecheskel. K'siv yalanach liyala al-sfasa mizeh mizeh, kol etz macho lo yibol oleyu, v'lo yitom piryu l'chadosh of yivaker. So tani, amr Rabbi Yehuda l'fisha ba'olam hazeh, t'vua osa l'shisha chadashim. Since now, in the world as it runs currently, it takes 6 months for Tavua to grow, from Tishrei until Nisan, and then when they cut the grain, they plant again after Pesach in its place. V'ilan osa l'shemasar chodesh, and for a tree to produce fruits, it takes 12 months, meaning it's once a year that a tree produces fruits. Avalasulavo, balasulavo, the nature is going to change. Ha'tavua osa l'chodesh echad. Tavua is going to be not 6 months, in 1 month it's going to grow. V'ilan osa l'shnei chodeshim, not in a year, in 2 months a tree is going to produce fruits. My taima, what's the source for that idea? My taima in Yerushalmi means minahani mili, right? Where do we see that from? So l'chadosh of yivaker, that the pasuk says l'chadosh of yivaker, chadoshav, the miut of plural is always two. So you see, in 2 months yivaker, the tree is going to produce its bikurim, its first fruits. So just like in Olam Hazeh, the tevua only takes half the time that the tree takes to produce its fruit, the tevua takes to grow. So too, if l'chadosh, if it's going to take fruit 2 months to grow, la'asadavo, so the grain is going to take only 1 month to grow, la'asadavo. So Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Amr Rabbi Yossi, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. L'fisha b'olam hazeh tevua osa l'shish chadosh, v'ilan osa l'shem osa chodesh. Av la'asadavo, tevua osa l'chamish osa yom, v'ilan osa l'chodesh echad. He says it's going to be even quicker. That la'asadavo, it's going to take 15 days for tevua and 1 month for ilan. Shekein matzinu sha'asa tevua b'imei yoel l'chamish osa yom, v'kar b'imena omer. Because in the days of Yoel, there was a Maisa Shahaya that miraculously the Tavua grew in 15 days. So Lasadav, it's going to be no less than it was in the days of Yoel. So we see that there's already precedent for Tavua to grow in 15 days. And once the Tavua is growing in 15 days, then you know that trees take twice as long. So therefore, it's going to be 1 month for the tree. My time, how do I know that in Yimei Yoel, Yoel such a thing happened? Because the pasuk says in Yoel, "Ubnei Tzion gilu v'simchu b'Hashem elokeichem ki nasa lachem es amor l'tzdaka v'yorei lachem geshe moru u'malkosh perishon." That the geshe, the first rain, came on Echad b'Nisan, and from that tevuah that sprouted from that rain, they were able to bring the Karban Omer, which was when v'chamisha asam b'Nisan. So you see that the tevuah in Yemei Yoel was able to grow in only 15 days and no rain the whole winter, and then Rosh Chodesh Nisan, miraculously, it first rained, and all the tevuah was able to grow just from that. Umamakayim Rabbi Yossi lechadosh of Yevaker. How's Rabbi Yossi going to explain the pasuk lechadosh of Yevaker? Sounds like lechadosh of, it takes 2 months. So bechol chodesh vechodesh yeh mevaker. No, lechadosh of, you're right, means many months, but it means each of the months will have a new bikurim, will have new first fruits that are produced in each of the months. That's lechadosh of Yevaker. Now the Nevoi Yecheskel tells us about these peiros and the leaves that are going to sprout from the meyamayan, that it's going to be va'alehu litrufa. So what does it mean, litrufa? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, tarfe mitzitz alei utraf mazona. That litrufa is the lashon of mazon. That they're gonna eat the moisture out of it, and it's gonna be like eating mazonos, like eating satiating food. Rav Shmuel darshan that litrufa is a nutrikun of lahatir peh. So what peh are they matir? So chadam or lahatir peh shel maylan. What does it mean? It opens up the mouth. Well, what mouth needs to be opened? So lahatir peh shel maylan, that if people were mute, were unable to speak beforehand, these fruits are going to have the therapeutic value of enabling people to speak. V'chadamar lahatir peh shel matan. No, it's talking about the peh shel matan, that if a woman was unable to have children, now through this she's going to be able to have children. Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Shimon Levi, chadamar lahatir peh akarus, akarus v'chadamar lahatir peh ilmim. Right, that's what it's referring to. Those two peh shel maylan and peh shel matan are referring to either allowing the mute to speak or allowing those who are unable to have children to have children. Ulumasam b'tzafon. Then we said Shar Yechanya was in the Tzafon. So what happened? Why is a gate called Shar Yechanya? Because when Yechanya was exiled, there was some event that happened there. What was that event? So the Gemara tells the story. Almotzi b'shal shal Nebuchadnezzar, the Khan of Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael in order to get to remove Yehoyachin, who took over for Yehoyakim. Bavi yashav lo b'dofnei shal Antochia. He was by the walls of the city of near the city of Antochia. V'yatsa Sanhedrin Gedola l'kras, and the Sanhedrin Gedola went to greet him, Varmelo, and they said, "He gives man a bais as Elicharev. Have you come to destroy our Beis Hamikdash?" So Amalek Nebuchadnezzar said, "No, I just came to take Yehoyachin. Also shem lachti aleichem tenuli v'ani holich. The guy that I put in charge over there, give him to me, and then I'll go on my way." So va'amrli Yehoyachin melech Yehuda. They told Yehoyachin melech Yehuda, Nebuchadnezzar bayilach. Nebuchadnezzar wants us to give you over to him. So kivin shasham yomehem kach. Once Yehoyachin heard this, natal maftchos shel Beis Hamikdash. He took the keys of the Beis Hamikdash. He went to the roof of the Eichel, Amr Lefan of Ribam Shalom. It used to be that you trusted us, and therefore we have the keys to your house. Now that you no longer trust us, we're returning the keys. So how did he return the keys to Hashem? So Tren Amarayim, Samachlokas Amarayim, Chad Amar Zarkan Va'od Lo Yardu. He threw them up in the air, and they just never came down. V'chad Amar, that a hand came from Shemayim and took the keys. So kivin sharau kol chore. Since all the kol chore Yehuda, all the chashuvim in Yehuda saw this, so kain alu the rosh kagusein v'nafel meis. They realized that the end was near, and mina Shemayim Yehoyachin got a haskama mina Shemayim because the keys were taken away. So they realized that was it. So they went to the roofs and they jumped off and died. Hadod. So that they died not mecherev or mimelchama, but from nefila meagagos, from jumping off of the roofs. That's how they died. Okay, halacha gimel. Now the Mishnah, we said previously that there are 13 shulchanos in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah elaborates. They had 8 marble tables where they had to deal with the animals of the karbanos that were in the north of the Mizbeach where they would shech, Shalei Medich Nesakirvayim, that's where they would rinse off all the innards of the Karbanos. Ushnayim B'marav HaKevesh, then there were two additional Shulchanos on the western side of the ramp, Echad Shal Shayish V'Echad Shal Kesef, one marble, one silver, Al Shal Shayish Nosan Es Eivarim, the marble one, they would put the Eivarim of the Karbanos after they were rinsed out, before they were brought up the ramp onto the top of the Mizbeach, and it was made out of marble in order to cool the meat down so that the meat shouldn't spoil. Val Shel Kesef Klei Shareis, and they laid out on the silver table the Klei Shareis that themselves were made of silver and gold. They were put out each day on the silver table. Then Ushnayim BuUlam Mibifnim, there were two additional tables inside of the Ulam Al Pesach Habayis. Echad Shel Shayish VeEchad Shel Zav, one marble, one gold. Al Shel Shayish Nosan Lechem Apanim BeKnisaso, the marble one, they would put the Lechem Apanim right after it was baked until Shabbos, when they would be mesader the lechem apanim on the shulchan. Val shel zav biyitziyaso, and the golden table is for the removal. When they removed the lechem apanim, they would put it down on the gold table, and they would keep it there until they would divide it up and give it to the kohanim. Shemalim b'kodesh v'lo meridin, and the reason it was on a marble table going in and gold on the way out was because since it was on the shulchan shel zav when it was in the heichal, they couldn't now put it on a lesser table, so it had to go on another gold table on its way out. Echad shel zav mibifnim shalav lechem apanim tamid. And then, of course, there is the Shulchan, right? The Shulchan, that's the Shulchan that we think of, that had the Lechem Apanim on it, Tamid, that was made out of gold as well. So Tani, Al Shel Kesef, Rabbi Yosef, B'Shem Rabbi Shul, Bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Chanin, Mati Ba, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Les Kan Shel Kesef. The Tana of Mishnah does not hold that the Shulchan was Shel Kesef, but rather it was Shel Shayish, who was made out of marble, because Mneshu Martiach, because the Kesef would heat up the Lechem Apanim, meaning it conducts the heat of the Lechem Apanim, and that would cause the Lechem Apanim to spoil. So in order to prevent the Lechem Apanim from spoiling, that's why they would dafka use a marble table. So lo kein tani, so the Gemara says, wait a second, zechad min nisim shnasu beis amigdash, shekshem shayim anichin oso chom, kacho yim otzin oso chom, shnam alosim lechem chom, biyom hilacho, that there was a miracle that the bread remained fresh, even though it was out the whole week. And remember, the lechem apanim was matzah, it wasn't even chametz. So it's one thing to have a loaf of bread that sits on a counter out the whole week and still be fresh at the end of the week. Matzah, tefach thick matzah that stays soft at the end of that's impossible. If you ever have a Svarti matzah, they say, take it out of the freezer exactly a half hour before you want to eat it, put it in the oven, and then it will be soft. If you leave it out of the freezer, you will just have discs that are like frisbees, they're just bricks. So that's what Lechem Apanim was, a great miracle that it stayed soft and fresh the whole time. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar ein maskir maaser. So the question is, so that we knew happened all the time, but to put it on a table of shayish, that was going to be that we had to put it on a table of shayish. We couldn't put it on shal kesef because it's going to conduct the heat, and all of a sudden all Lechem Apanim is going to spoil. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar ein maskir maaser nisim. Yeah, but we ain't some kanal anes. So we do what we can. Bon kami Rabbi Ila, lo yasham lechem ma'u lanichol l'shabbos haba. What if they didn't have new lechem apanim? Can they take that old lechem apanim and put it back on the table on the main shulchan? So amlon k'sivin asat al shulchan lechem apanim lefanai tamid lechem apanim afilu pasul, that the lechem apanim could be, even if it's pasul, is more important that it be tamid, that it be there constantly. Now, aside from the shulchan and the menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu made that was in the heichal, there were another 10 shulchanos and another 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech made. So the Gemara elaborates on where those shulchanos and menorahs went. So asar shulchanos asa Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 shulchanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Siksiv v'yah shulchanos asari v'yanach b'eichel chamisha b'yamin v'chamisha b'smol. 5 on the right and 5 on the left when you walked in. If you walked in right in the middle, so 5 on the right, 5 on the left. So the Gemara just interrupts for a second and says, whoa, wait a second. In Tamar, if you can say that the shulchanos were arranged in the long way in one row from the north of the Hechel to the south of the Hechel, so Chamisha B'Darm and Chamisha B'Tzafon, and then the 5 on your left are going to be to the south, and the 5 on the right are going to be to the north of the Hechel. V'aloin Shulchan Kasher Ella B'Tzafon, Shnemar V'Shulchan Tidnal Tzal B'Tzafon. The Shulchan is supposed to be B'Tzafon, right? That's why the Gemara Baba Basra says HaRosh HaLahashir Yatzbin, you face a little north when you want to become wealthy, because it's supposed to be B'Tzafon. So how could you have 5 of them on the south? Matam Lomar Chamisha Yamin v'chamisha mismal. So what does it mean, chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismal? El chamisha miyamino shulchanu shal Moshe v'chamisha mismalo. No, not miyamin when you walk in. It means five to the right of the shulchan of Moshe and five to the left of the shulchan of Moshe. Afal pikein lo hayim esader ela b'shal Moshe bilvad. Nevertheless, the lechem apanim only went on the shulchan of Moshe. Shemar v'shulchan asher alav lechem apanim. That's what the pasuk says. Shulchan asher alav lechem apanim. Rabbi Yosef says, Al kulan hayim esader, that all of the ten shulchanos were kosher to put the lechem apanim on, and any time there were mesader on the, and each time they chose a different shulchan to be mesader the lechem apanim. Shenamar v'esav shulchanos va'aleim lechem apanim. L'chora, there's a huge machlokas over here. First of all, whether there could have been any part of the shulchan that extended into the southern side, because if there was, then you couldn't use that shulchan clearly for lechem apanim. Also, what did these shulchanos look like? Did they look just like the shulchan? If they look just like the shulchan of so then you understand that they would put the lechem apanim. It may happen afkamina because you're not allowed to build a shulchan tavna shulchan. You're not allowed to build a table that's tavna shulchan that looks like the tables that they had in the Beis Hamikdash, which could be a problem if they just look like regular tables, right? How do we have so the Chasam Sofer discusses, how do we allow to have regular tables? Were they allowed to be made out of eights if they didn't have gold? Were they allowed to be, and if so, maybe we have a problem in making tables in our homes. That's a major discussion in the postgame. Okay, Beth Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up Tani Mizrach Umar, Fayin Asunin, and we'll go from there. Okay, have a great day.